WTF is Retail, presented by Knotted Commerce, the integration specialists for growing retail brands.
All right, welcome back to the WTF is Retail podcast. We're actually here for season four. I've survived that long. Four seasons of this podcast.
Well done.
Thank you. So yeah, now we're getting sponsorships as well. And that's how we're in the big time now.
Yeah, fair. Coca-Cola, Pepsi,
Red Bull, I think, wanted to throw a couple of mil at us.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, that's how we got Moss on, actually.
Ah, of course it was.
Yeah, the money pays. How much were we paying you? That's disclosed.
Cannot say.
Because the tax might have to come after.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, as I kind of mentioned there, we're with Moss. Matt Henton, the head of e-commerce. How's it going?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in. And we also have Brad Holdsworth.
Pretty much. Holdsworth.
Holdsworth.
Yeah, you got it.
From Remarkable Commerce.
Good to be here.
Awesome. You came in from Nottingham today.
Yeah. Nottingham down to London. It's only a few hours.
Okay, not too bad. And all the way from Camden.
That's right. I've got our new headquarters in Camden. So quite a short journey for me.
Yeah, nice. Was it Northern Line, then walk from Wall Street?
That's it. Northern Line. Little walk from Old Street.
Cheeky.
Nice day for it.
We are in East London, Hoxton, which is notoriously a pain in the ass to get to.
It feels very cool, though. It's quite quirky, isn't it?
Yeah. Graffiti everywhere, but good graffiti, a lot of it. Not
actual art.
Graffiti. Feels good to be here. Lovely day in London. We don't have Tom Brewer with us. Tom, unfortunately, as much as he does add to the podcast, he's not going to be here. he'll love me saying that. I think he's probably just didn't fancy it because I just lay into him every time we do a podcast.
It's too much.
Yeah, his self-esteem is rock bottom right now.
Sitting it out for his mental health.
So we've got a really exciting episode today. Obviously, Moss, you guys have an incredible history that dates back a long, long time. We'll get into that a little bit. It'll be cool to talk about your e-commerce journey. Black Friday's just happened. As head of e-commerce, it'd be cool to talk about that a little bit. And also how Remarkable Commerce has kind of helped you on your journey and your kind of partnership together. So I think we've got a really exciting episode here. A great one to kick off season four.
Was this the first one of season four?
Yeah, first one of season four.
No pressure.
Do not let us down.
Are we allowed to swear or not?
Sure. It's not a kids show.
Okay.
Kids don't listen to e-commerce.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I mean, usual kids listening to this.
Yeah. This is actually a kids podcast to get them into e-commerce.
That's what the costumes are for.
That's why we're all dressed, in stupid costumes. Awesome. So I kind of always like to set the scene with the brand because a lot of people may have heard of or seen Moss on the high street or things like this. But maybe a little bit of a background, history of Moss, and how it all started. I know it's a long way back, but
yeah, plenty to go out on the history. So Moss was founded in 1851 as Moss. You may know the brand better as Moss Bros. Mm-hmm. So we became Moss Bros when Moses Moss, the founder, handed the business over to his two sons. Alfred and George in about 1880 or something, 1890. And it's been known as Moss Brothers or Moss Bros since then, until a few years ago. And we rebranded and dropped the Bros.
Okay.
Partly because nobody quite knew how to pronounce it. Like some people call it
Bros. I thought it was Bros, yeah.
Yeah, Moss so Brothers. Lots of people say Moss Bros, lots of people say Moss Bros, lots of people say Moss Brothers. Mm. And we kind of thought it was a little bit old, a little bit dating, and we decided to drop it. So we're now just Moss. But I guess to go back a little bit, started in Covent Garden, 1851, as I say, and Moses Moss, his mission was to kind of democratize the soup, make it accessible to the ordinary man. And he sold new and secondhand suits out of a store in Covent Garden. And it just grew from there. One of the brothers started our hire business in 1897. So the story is that he had a mate who was an aspiring concert pianist. Right. And needed a kind of tailcoat for his concert performances. Okay. And he couldn't afford one. And so Alfred sort of struck a deal with him and said, well, look, you have it. You pay us a shilling or whatever and we'll clean it. and we'll make it kind of available for others to hire as well. And that was the start of Moss Hire. So you know, lots of kind of talk at the moment in the fashion world about, you know, new business models and kind of new ways of ownership and so on. Well, we kind of started all that back in 1897 and have been doing that ever since. Hire's not a huge part of our business, but it's a really important part of our business because there's you know, people that are just told to go to Moss and pick up a hire suit. It's an introduction to the brand, and you know, you get people through the door that maybe wouldn't have otherwise come into a Moss store, and then when they walk through the door, go, oh wow, this is not quite what I was expecting, and there's amazing product in here. So it's a really good introduction to the brand.
Like you say, if they're hiring it, they're feeling the quality, they get, you know, accustomed to it, and they like it. Do you know, this is a massive question early on, but do you know like how well that does convert into recurring revenue?
What as an introduction being higher?
Like a higher turns into a customer, regular customer.
We are starting to understand that a lot better as we capture more customer data from our store shoppers. Obviously, we capture customer data from our e-com shoppers. You can't check out without telling us who you are. Yeah. But for stores, we've been gradually getting better at collecting email addresses from our customers, mainly through digital receipts. You know, people don't want paper receipts flying around and getting lost, and so we convince most of our customers to give us an email address, and that allows us to tie that back and look at what was that, you know, original source of that customer. Did we see them originally coming through Hire? So we do see that happening. We do see Hire being an introduction to the brand and those people turning into regular shoppers.
And so have you been head of e-commerce since the 1800s?
I started a little bit after the business was founded. I've been at the brand for just coming up to 10 years as head of e-commerce. So seen a lot of changes sort of throughout that period. I guess the kind of, you know, before the pandemic and after the pandemic is kind of how I think about it, because that was such a defining moment in our history. You know, we're obviously synonymous with weddings and proms and events and parties, and you know, we've got a big partnership with Royal Ascot, you know, all of those things that didn't happen in 2020, and therefore, you know, a lot of the reasons why guys come to Moss just weren't on the cards that year. So super challenging, right? It was a really, really difficult year for us, and it was one of those where, you know, we didn't quite know what the future held for us at that time. You know, I'm pleased to say that we took it as an opportunity to reset the business. We were very focused on promotion and discount to drive sales before that, and we completely reset. You know, you go through a year where you almost don't sell anything, and suddenly like for likes don't make any sense anymore. And yeah, we weren't chasing sales. We didn't really have enough product immediately kind of after everything kind of restarted. And so we were in a great position to say, well, look, let's focus on what's important. Let's focus on the brand, the quality of the product, quality of the materials that we use to make our product. And let's can really forget about trying to use price and promotion to drive sales. Let's just really focus on quality and reset the brand. And the move from Moss Bros to Moss was kind of part of that reset.
I'd like to take a second to thank our season 4 sponsor, Cubix Media. Cubix are a Shopify agency and Shopify Plus partner that specializes in crafting beautiful and reliable web stores. If you're a brand looking for Shopify services, replatforming, development, or e-com strategy, then head over to cubixmedia.com. Let's get back into the podcast.
You might have kind of alluded to it there a little bit, but since you've come into Moss, could you kind of give us a little bit of insight into maybe some e-commerce strategies you've kind of implemented and how you've influenced the business?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is recognizing that, you know, particularly in the bulk of what we sell, so formal wear is obviously what we're known for, suits and tuxedos and so on. It's a considered purchase for most people, right? A suit is the most expensive thing in most guys' wardrobes. So it's not an easy, quick, simple purchase. customers research online and they go into store, they go into store and then come online to buy. And so really nailing that whole cross-channel piece, that real understanding of how customers dip in and out of digital and physical channels was super important for us, maybe more than even other retailers. And then just making sure that we try to make that experience as joined up as possible, making sure that, you know, absolutely everything that a customer might need when they're switching from one channel to another is in place. And not having, you know, sales channels competing with each other. So I think that was, I guess, what I walked into, you know, best part of a decade ago, was that e-commerce was a store and it was competing with, you know, all the other 100 and odd stores that we had in the business. And it was pretty clear that that was not going to work, and we needed to break down those sort of barriers.
Interesting. And obviously we haven't actually really brought Matt in, Brad into this yet, but it'll be quite interesting to kind of understand, you know, the relationship between Remarkable and Moss and what kind of fueled the need, in your opinion, Matt, for bringing Remarkable into helping you guys?
I mean, we've worked with Remarkable for, well, for longer than I've been at Moss. So it's sort of, I think, 11 years, Brad?
Yeah.
And I know that the original decision to go to Remarkable for our e-commerce platform was, as I say, taken before I started in the business, but was just very much about setting us up for you know, scaling growth in our e-com channel. Being able to deliver an omni-channel customer experience.
Yeah, I'd add to that in that I think Moss's desire to grow quickly was evident really early on. Mm-hmm. I think Moss have always had a very hungry appetite to grow channels. And I think you're right in that back then maybe online was seen as just a store. So it was like, if we put X amount of budget into a store, how well can it do? And I think that mentality was taken with online a little bit. So the fuel around why they moved platform, because they were Magento, Magento before Remarkable, you know, that was 12 years ago, quite stagnant growth, lots of kind of, I think if a retailer wants to move platform, there's only really a few reasons why they want to. I think mainly is the headaches, so technical headaches and costly maintenance. I think that's one big one. So if it's taking a long time, it's costing a lot of money just to maintain what you have, that's a good reason to consider moving. Also, kind of interconnectivity between different systems. So with Moss having lots of different propositions, having lots of different solutions, internal technology as well, how to piece all that together and bring it all together is another big headache. I think if you have that headache all the time, that's probably a good reason to move platform as well. So even back then, you know, 12 years ago when Moss was a much smaller business online than it is today. I can't remember what really size online was back in 2013, 14.
A lot smaller than it is today. And I think you touched on the complexity point there as well, right? We're not just a retailer. I've said already, you know, we've got a hire business. Hire's complicated, right? Everything to do with hire is complicated because you've got group orders. So for weddings, you've got, you know, one person that might be ordering, placing the order, but you might have, you know, six or seven guys in the wedding party. And they're sort of sub-orders of the main order. And they're all wanting to get measured in different stores and drop off and collect from different stores
or have delivered.
One person might be paying the deposits, but then everybody else is paying the balance. There's just a lot of complexity with hire, and it's for a date that's in the future as well. And so, you know, going to a platform,
returns and refunds and all that
stuff. Anything that we kind of run through use cases on with hire tends to break most technologies, right? Because
it's weird, isn't it?
It is so complicated.
Yeah.
And so, you know, moving to a platform that was entirely custom built was really the only realistic option for that. We've since added our custom-made offering as part of our online as well. So there's a custom-made experience that allows you to completely build a suit from scratch, like the fabric, the lining, the buttons, all the styling options. You know, again, trying to do that in a kind of more off the shelf e-commerce platform, it just wouldn't have really been possible for us. So I think they were the probably the big drivers for moving across to Remarkable all those years ago.
Plus, I think Remarkable 12 years ago was a smaller business compared to what we are now. You know, we're nearly 100 staff now. And we have, Moss and many good, really good retailers on our that work with us for lots of different reasons as well. And I think part of the reason that Moss came to us because they perhaps saw something in us in the way we work, not in our size or, we weren't a huge player, but they saw perhaps that we were agile enough to kind of make anything work rather than just kind of commonly you'll talk to a technology and they'll say, well, this is how it works and this is how it could work. And we'll put it on a roadmap maybe. But with us, it's a different type of conversation. So it was that type of conversation, I think, that put us in the door.
And how complex was it building this solution for Moss? Was it difficult? Is it something you'd done before? Or
We've had many of our clients for a very long time. So we had experience even back then in building complex sites. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot since. I think we've solved thousands of challenges for Moss and...
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's, many sites over the years.
There's been so much development on the platform that we kind of, or I originally inherited. We have fundamentally changed last year the core technology that the platform sits on because we kind of outgrown what we'd got as the core platform. But if I just think about the stock proposition, for instance, a decade ago, e-commerce had its own stock. So it was like a store and it had its own stock allocation. Now we have a common view of stock across our entire business and we do ship from store. So my stock to my e-commerce visitors is every piece of stock in the business. Mm-hmm. And it might be fulfilled from our central warehouse or it might be fulfilled from our Exeter store or our Newcastle store, or it's about driving efficiency and allowing customers to shop every piece of stock that you've got in the business, which obviously means good size availability pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
And an efficient use of stock. You can push it out to stores that have an opportunity to sell it in stores, knowing that it's still available to an e-commerce shopper. Mm. So, those kind of things are where we've just driven change over the years to really kind of move the platform on from what was sort of like a standalone e-commerce shop to be, completely integrated into the rest of the business.
Interesting. And obviously, like, what would you say your kind of split of sales is between physical and e-commerce now? Obviously, you were heavily physical. You've been brought into really push e-commerce and omni-channel selling and stuff. So how's that kind of gone?
Yeah, look, we're still, our sales or where we take the cash is still dominated by our stores. Mm. And I think it always will be because of the product that we sell, right? It's formal wear. Most guys, we want to try it on, right?
Yeah.
You want to go in and have the tape measure experience and have somebody, fit product to you properly. That's where that's our point of difference is that most formal wear retailers do not offer that kind of expertise in store. We actively drive our online customers into store. Appointment booking is just as much a success metric for us in e-com as going through the actual checkout on site. Because that is just part of us recognizing that some people are happy to buy online. They know their size, they're confident in it. Some people just do not have the first idea because they're not regular suit shoppers or they just don't know what size to buy.
I think Moss were one of the first brands we worked with who started attributing sales to stores as well. So online appointments or online fulfillment, store fulfillment even, and elements like that, part of that bigger omnichannel picture, you guys actually started to attribute those sales or part of them to stores. And this was, many years ago. And I think that brought stores into the fold, really. The store managers started to understand the value of e-com and its role in the business.
Yeah, I think that's been the main kind of thing. It's that kind of cultural recognition that behind every, appointment booking or behind every customer goes on to research online and then goes in store or tries it on in store and then decides to go home and think about it and potentially buy it online. There's just a customer that's doing what they find most convenient and most useful for them. And it's just about getting that experience right so that the customer can do whatever is right for him, rather than trying to funnel him down a particular route. And I think, you know, I think we've just all moved on a lot, and you know, our store teams are just absolutely brilliant in recognizing that. And it's not a lost sale if somebody decides to go home and think about it and potentially buy online. Because the next guy that walks through the door may well have done all his research online and decided to go into store to buy it. And that's how it is. That's the world we live in. And we just need to you know, focus on what's right for customers and not worry about which till the money goes through.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. And we've been quite lucky getting you in here for a podcast in this time of the year. It's just been Black Friday. It's actually incredible that you're here, literally, you know, a week or whatever it is, how many days it is after Black Friday.
Well, we finished our Black Friday yesterday, so
this is a celebration episode. Then.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah,
yeah, we get a party poppers.
Is that where we got the 12-pack of Fosters down there? Right? Fosters won't be the choice, I imagine, for classy people like us. So, you've literally just had a Black Friday. What challenges did you anticipate? Leading up to it, or experience during this sale?
I mean, challenges, thankfully, are, I guess, ones that we can foresee now a lot better than we used to. I remember the kind of early days of doing Black Friday, we just had no idea what level of traffic and sales we were going to get. We would be anxiously watching the site at throughout Friday and the Sunday of the Black Friday weekend is always big for us. None of that anymore. The capacity of the site is not anything that we worry about, even though we've got really high traffic volumes. So I guess some of the planning that we do is really around logistics. So I mentioned ship from store. We turned off Express as a delivery choice for customers who were shopping items that were going to be fulfilled from store, partly because our store teams are just going to be very busy themselves, and therefore picking and packing with a level of urgency was probably just a bit too much pressure to put them under. But also we just knew that the couriers that collect from our store were probably likely to be struggling as well. Not so much from our central warehouse, because we've got kind of a better understanding of capacity there. But so just things like that. So making sure that we weren't putting forward a delivery promise that we stood a reasonably good chance of not hitting, and just making sure that we'd got everything in place to fulfill against customer promise and getting the customer promise right.
Mm. What have you seen, Brad, over this kind of weekend? Have you seen much from your side? Not just for Moss, just in general for your...
Or our sites?
Yeah, yeah.
No problems, no challenges from a tech point of view. It's been really stable and successful from a kind of technology point of view. One thing that we consider and we look at more than ever before is, I guess, around that stability point, is making sure that our sites and our admin, actually, to that point, is being able so that Matt and his team can go into the platform admin and make changes like turning Express off and viewing orders and things like that, and allow the team to be able to manage the site without that being a problem. That's a thing that we think about as well, not just the front end customer facing sites. But one thing we really think heavily about is that stability piece. So every year we kind of introduce new tactics to be able to make sure sites stay as quick as possible and as stable as possible. We do a lot of work around caching, which essentially is where we save versions of code on the front, on the CDN, essentially. So when customers come to the site, they see a kind of a saved version rather than us kind of serving code straight from the server every single for thousands of people a minute or something. So that kind of caching layer is really important to us, and there's lots of deeper technology that go beyond that that make sure that stays possible. So there's things like that, kind of mechanisms that we're trying to make sure stay good for us, really.
So paradoxically, our site is faster when we've got high traffic load.
Really?
Because we've got more pages that have been recently cached and therefore they can be served out of the cache rather than having to go and get from the server a fresh version of that page. So, we obviously look at page load speeds and customer experience there. And, yeah, you get this weird situation where the site, the busier it gets, the faster it gets.
You see thousands of people on the site, but actually it's rapid.
Yeah.
And there's lots of hidden stuff that we do behind the scenes to kind of make that. It's not just caching. There's lots of other things we do behind the scenes to make sure that that's possible. But and being the technology and the agency in one means that we actually have that kind of core access to code, which you don't typically get in like an off-the-shelf solution.
Yeah.
With technology that comes off the cloud, sometimes you just have the kind of top-level access, not the core level. So our ability to get into the core and make sure that that's optimized perfectly means that we can, give that a reliability. It's really important.
I think as well, though, things like Black Friday, they're now so stretched out that you don't get quite that peak in traffic and demand that we used to see a few years ago. Mm.
How long do you sell over, by the way? Like a week, 2 weeks?
So we're fairly short compared with the rest of the market. So we did Black Friday from Wednesday night, so in stores from Thursday until Cyber Monday, midnight Cyber Monday, all comes off. Mm-hmm. So that's a fairly short period of time, but at least it is over a few days when it used to be very peaky on Black Friday itself, because it was so much was concentrated into that day. Mm. Then you're just putting a lot of demand on all of those resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this again might be a big ask here, considering it literally ended yesterday. Yeah. But any hot off the press stats from this year's Black Friday? Anything you want to share with us? Or you don't have to.
Only thing I'm going to say is that we've had a very strong Black Friday across stores and online. We're very pleased with the amount of customers that we've had, both new customers and returning customers, and some pretty strong sales figures. But also, strong on margin. It is not a time, just never as the business do we kind of slash prices, and that's just not the kind of business that we are anymore. I said prior to the pandemic, and that is very much kind of where we were at. We traded the site in particular very hard. We don't do that now. We have a lot more confidence in our product. We don't do a percentage off everything. We only include in a Black Friday sale the products that the rate of sale is a bit disappointing, and we think they need a little bit of a hand to increase that rate of sale. Mm-hmm. Product that's selling perfectly well doesn't go in the sale. We continue throughout Black Friday selling our best products at full price. Mm-hmm. So it is it's an opportunity. We know that there is going to be a customer shopping at that time who wants a bargain, and we have got some great prices. But on the whole, we keep the focus on profitability and only target the products where those products need a helping hand.
You handled that question like a professional footballer, like a manager, not trying to give too much away about the tactics or anything. Great PR training on that one.
Prepared that answer.
Yeah. It's like, don't give any numbers, but fair enough. But it sounds good that it's gone well for you, and it's interesting.
It's been a good trading period.
Yeah, that's good. And I think it's going to be quite cool and interesting to get two tips from each of you that you would give to any other e-commerce brands looking for a successful Black Friday or peak period in general. Who wants to start?
Yeah, go on, Brad.
So there's two that come to mind. I've seen one interesting thing this year. More than ever, add to bag rate has been really high. However, conversion rate hasn't increased as much as that. Mm-hmm. So conversion rate has jumped up a little bit across the board. If I look at our 100 brands, conversion rate has nudged up a bit compared to last year, which is great. But actually, and traffic has as well, and generally speaking, everyone's growing well. However, add to bag rate, though, has grown substantially more. So that tells me perhaps that the customers are, their intention to buy is higher perhaps than previous years, but converting not as well. So maybe there's a tactic around that and a mechanism around obviously abandoned basket is important. Mm-hmm. There's also a piece where customers rally into bag but not even go into basket. Mm-hmm. So what can you do there? Is there some type of on-site overlay that needs to be placed? Is there some, which is more aggressive than normal maybe, or is there some marketing channel work that needs to be done, or does there need to be some sort of on-site pricing manipulation in some way to kind of just nudge that entry into the basket a bit harder than it is? Yeah. It's interesting that the intention's there, clearly. If people are selecting size and adding to basket, but then not going into basket, there's another, there's some psychology there maybe.
Something that's really interesting you said that, because I literally did that over Black Friday, is I put some Vans shoes into my basket and I just left it in there. And I didn't check out. I was umming and ahhing. And what they did was they were offering 10% for Black Friday. Because I'd been on that checkout page and left it open in a tab, another pop-up came up and it offered me a higher discount code. Mm-hmm. And I still didn't buy it. But I'm sat here thinking,
really thought about
I'm thinking, I hope that the Black Friday's still going on, because I actually want to buy those shoes now.
Yeah, you might have missed out.
I might have missed
out. But you could have been sat here in your new Vans.
Well, they won't be here yet. That'd be incredible if they got me that
quickly. They're pretty quick delivery.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law's she used to be, I think she was like the customer service director, I don't know, something, and she was in charge of like distribution across lots of different
channels. That's why it's so good.
And knows, she's good. She knows her stuff. The other thing I'd say is around thinking ahead to next year. Speaking to a few brands this year, they didn't really think about like what happened last year. So what I'd recommend is, after this year's done, maybe spend a day or so just documenting everything that happened this year. Mm-hmm. So document all those tactics, all the mechanisms, what the timeline was, what you learned, what you changed at last minute, just a bit of a document on what we learned of Black Friday and what we did this year, so that next year, refer back to it and go, that's cool, that happened, or that's what we learned.
Yeah.
Trying to scroll back through emails or social posts, try to remember what you did. Just have a document there.
That's a really smart idea. We do something similar to that. We have a wash up and figure out what worked well, what didn't work so well. What would we do differently? And it doesn't need to be complicated, but then you've pretty much got the playbook for next year.
It's a blueprint to start from, isn't it? It's a jump-off point rather than starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, and Matt, two tips from your side?
Well, first one I'd say is really that trading point about thinking of, what is Black Friday for? What's it for your business? What does it represent? Mm-hmm. When I see businesses doing 25% off everything, I just think, is that the right thing to do?
Yeah.
Right, because your best-selling products are just going to be your best-selling products, but with 25% off. Mm. And the products that you're struggling to move are still not going to sell well because everything's equal. And, we used to do this. So I do come from a position of kind of understanding how it works and seeing what customers actually did. And we moved away for it for that very reason, right, that there's no point selling product that you can perfectly well sell at full price with a discount if you don't need to. So, think about profitability. What are the right tactics for you? And what are the products that, you want to give more focus to and try and move more quickly? And then the other is just around preparation and planning and thinking about what can you do before you go to Black Friday, because people are going to be coming to your site. People are going to be looking as, are they there yet? Have they launched Black Friday yet? And what can you do to try and capture that intent and sort of have it ready? So we've done, quite a bit within, our on-site search. We've got ads that show within on-site search before we'd launched Black Friday that would allow people to stick their email address in and we'll tell them about Black Friday when it arrives. And we also do that across social, give us your email address. And again, you'll be the first to hear when we do launch.
Teasers and things.
Trying to, where there is that intent, where people are looking and trying to see. Our Black Friday landing page itself has that sign up on it when we're kind of, waiting to go into Black Friday. Because people will be looking and use it as an opportunity to capture that intent, capture marketing permission, and then it just gives you a little bit more to go at when you do press the button and launch the whole thing.
Awesome. And I am conscious we are slightly running out of time. So we are pretty close to finishing here. So a quick one here. Matt, let's start with you. Any exciting plans for Moss in the near future you want to announce? Or
Nothing to announce, but we've got lots going on. We've opened more stores this year. We've got more stores to come next year, and you know we're just going to continue to focus on, like I say, customer experience. Really pushing more on our custom made. It is a fast growing part of our business where. You know, people can you know effectively design an outfit entirely themselves and make all of the styling choices, and we do get you into store to measure you before we go off and make that for you, because clearly having it made to perfectly the right size for you is important. So big focus on growing that side of the business even faster next year as well.
Amazing. And Brad, for Remarkable.
So two things. So we've got two sides of the business. We've almost got the agency services, now developers, 85 odd developers. And then we've got the technology side, which is the platform and other stuff we do. And next year, we're looking to grow both sides. So on the agency side, we're going to start introducing new services into what we do. So typically, we've always been just a development house. We're going to broaden the reach of the type of technology that we do development on. And also start looking at other types of services, which is the agency side. We're trying to get up to that 100 people kind of mark on the agency side. And then on the technology side, although the platform has always been our bread and butter, we're going to start firstly introducing a lot more functionality into the platform. There's some really cool features, native features that we're going to put into the platform in our CMS and our merchandising module. And then additionally to that, our WMS, we have our own warehouse management solution, and we're doubling down on the kind of functionality and features within that core platform as well. So we're going to start pushing that as a product out. So both sides of the business, is lots going on next year.
Very exciting for both of you. Okay, a little fun question, which some people hate right at the end, but we do it every time. I've never had good feedback from it, but we still do it. Okay, and you can't say Moss, by the way. Favorite right. brand at the minute?
Passenger.
Oh, this is classic 80 type brand. He says Passenger.
I think
he
introduced me to Passenger.
Oh, really?
But yeah. I'm a bit of an addict. I've got like five I think this jacket over here is Passenger.
It is quality.
Nice brand. They did Green Friday as their Black Friday thing. Mm-hmm. So their whole thing is around sustainability. They for every order, typically they plant a tree for every order. Over Green Friday, they planted five trees for every order and loads of... We got really nice brand messages and values, and I'm a bit of an addict. So
love that.
Passenger for me.
Okay, Matt.
So I'm struggling a little bit with this one because obviously I can't say Moss. Moss Hire or Moss Custom Made. Mm. That would be a bit of a cheat. Mm. I do find myself looking at other people's brands and critiquing kind of what's going on or trying to understand what's going on with their e-commerce rather than actually paying attention to the product. But I spend, you know, I look at women's wear brands a lot for inspiration in terms of how they present the product. One women's wear brand that I think is absolutely brilliant is Me&M. Mm-hmm. Really like what they're doing, really like the way they present their product, and yeah, taking some inspiration from them from an e-commerce perspective. Mm.
Lovely design, UX as well.
Yeah. Everything about
great
it.
Aesthetically pleasing.
That's great. So that's basically the end of episode one, season four. How was that for you guys? Not too bad.
That was fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Good fun.
Yeah.
I think
we've gone
through a lot of really interesting things. So I think this is a great way to kick off season four. And now I'm going to do the classic outro thing where I say all my stuff and you guys sit there awkwardly and look at me. So yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. This episode was presented by Knotted Commerce, your integration specialist for e-commerce brands. To find out more about our services, you can go to knottedcommerce.com. Got it down to a T. Was that awkward for you guys?
No, that's pretty nice. That was good. Like
yeah, try to get through it quickly. But yeah, thanks for listening, and that's a wrap.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks a lot.